this town we call home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Raised on the Diz. This is episode 20. We're recording this on October 7th, 2021. We are into fall.
Yep.
I am Nick, and my co-host Zoli-Ann here. You love fall.
I do. It's my favorite. I mean, I love spring too, but fall has it beat. And I mean, nothing is better than Halloween. And that's why I love the music we have for this week.
Hey Zoli-Ann.
We have some.
Tell the people when you decorated for Halloween.
Oh, I was going to say we have some Nightmare Before Christmas music. But yeah, I decorated for Halloween. I always decorate for Halloween on Labor Day. So like over the Labor Day weekend, I think I got my Halloween decorations out Friday night after I was done working.
So we have this countdown, and I think it's a Disney themed countdown, right?
It's to Mickey Halloween. And Minnie, yeah.
I think it was like at 70 days when you decorated.
Yeah.
So it finally are in the month of Halloween. So you got to be loving it.
I love it. Yeah.
So we're talking about something a little scary today. You know, we have a lot of great fans and people that listen to the podcast every week, and we always get great feedback on Apple Podcasts and on our Facebook and Instagram pages. And just a heads up, we got to plug it. Facebook.com/RaisedOnTheDiz, Instagram.com/RaisedOnTheDiz. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you love the show. And if you have a question for us, we'll bring it up on the air. We've had great feedback even just this week. But there are always people that comment every time we put up a post that mm-hmm. Disney has gotten too expensive, that mm-hmm. they're disenchanted with it, that they're done with it, that they're never going to go back. Someone even said on the Facebook page that they're there right now and they're not going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're just ending their vacation early.
You know, and I can, like, looking back, you know, at the trips that we've taken, you know, I think we've all been there, maybe. I mean, I've never been to the point that I'm like, I am never coming back, that I can think of. But, you know, there are certain things maybe that could frustrate you while you're on your trip. Maybe it's the crowds, maybe it's the long lines, maybe it's some of the things that we're going to mention today. But, you know, that's just kind of goes along with it. You know, that's
so the way I look today at it. We're talking about the five things we hate about Disney World. You don't like that phrase, that hate. You know, it's just a little bit provocative because we don't hate these things. There's one thing in particular I really don't like. And so mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go on a little bit of a rant about it. But so, I mean, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. So we hear the folks that are talking about how it's expensive, how, you know, that some of the magic is gone for them. I mean, we talked last week on the last episode for the 50th anniversary, how we weren't totally in love with the new fireworks shows and how a lot of the old movies have been forgotten. So we definitely hear that. And we're going to talk a little bit about some things that we don't like on today's podcast. But before we get into the top five things that we hate about Disney World, we want to welcome to the program, and this is a long time coming, our 8-year-old daughter, Claire. Hey, Claire.
Hi. And I have a fun fact for you guys. Did you know that Expedition Everest was the most expensive roller coaster ever built?
Is it still the most expensive roller coaster ever built?
Yes.
In the world?
Yes.
That is amazing, Claire. So it was built a long time ago, before you were even born, because you were born back in 2012. So it was built a long time before you were born, and it's still the most expensive roller coaster. I have a question for you.
What is it?
What is your favorite Disney park?
Oh, my favorite Disney park is definitely Epcot because I like all the countries.
You like all the countries. That's a good choice, Claire. That's one of my favorites, too. All right. I have another question for you. You ready?
Uh-huh.
What is your favorite Disney ride?
My favorite Disney ride, I think it would go to Big Thunder.
Big Thunder Mountain?
Also Cali.
Cali River Rapids. But here's something really strange. You like Cali River Rapids, but you don't like Splash Mountain.
I just don't like the big drop in it. It's too high.
Yeah, too high. Well, Claire, thanks for coming on and talking about the fun fact. I didn't know that, but you are watching Disney videos all the time, so I know that you are the person that we need to go to get all the great facts about Disney.
Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.
Yeah, she's in bed now, Zolian. You know, we always end up recording this kind of later at night. Uh-huh. And so we got to record the kids early. So right. I came down and did a little special interview with her. But that was a great fun fact. I didn't know that about Expedition Everest.
She was very excited to be included. She kept asking me, you know, when am I going to get to be on the podcast? And so we made it happen tonight.
All right. Ready to get into it?
Sure. Let's go.
Okay. We'll start with, you know, some things that I'm, you know, kind of lukewarm on, and then we'll escalate up to one thing that I do have, you know, kind of a personal issue with. It's really just kind of a practical issue. So I'll keep everybody kind of excited to find that one out. Okay. So the first one, and we talk about this a lot, there's a lot of options that aren't at the parks right now that haven't returned because of COVID.
Right.
But I think, you know, you see this a lot out there in the country that, you know, certain things aren't coming back and they're saying it's COVID, but it's probably a host of other things.
Right.
So the dining plan isn't back.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Character meet and greets aren't back. Parks are closing earlier. That is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, because how great is it, regardless of whether it's a summer night or, you know, a night in January or February or whenever, to be able to go after the sun sets. Mm-hmm. One of the best times to go to Disney World is after the sun goes down, regardless of what time of the year it is.
Yeah, it is really neat. I mean, it's, you know, it's certainly in the summer, but, you know, it's hot in Florida. So you typically, when the sun goes down, obviously it gets a little cooler. And so that's always nice. It's always more comfortable. But then everything's like lit up and it's just, you know, yeah, it's a different feel in the evenings. And yeah, I agree. I miss that.
Yeah. So, we don't know exactly when park hours will go back to the way that they were before. They might never go back, because, the early magic hours or the late magic hours, that is something that is not coming back after the pandemic. They've transitioned that to something where a couple times a week, people that are staying in deluxe hotels, will get special time in the parks. And that is a couple extra hours at the end of the day. I can understand how that rubs people the wrong way, because if you're going to Disney World and you're paying a lot of money to travel there, and then there's a perk that you're not going to get.
Right.
When, as before the pandemic, that was available to everybody who was staying at a Disney hotel and good neighbor hotels like the Disney Springs Hotel. So I can understand how that has been, and I've tracked it online on social media and in some of the message boards. That's really made people upset.
Well, that's really cutting down, you know, a lot of people, which I'm sure, you know, the people who stay in deluxe resorts are really excited about it, because that means that, you know, there they get a couple of hours where there probably aren't so many people at the resorts. But yeah, I mean, if you think about all the value and the moderate resorts, and plus those some of those neighboring hotels that were, you know, used to be able to take advantage of this, I mean, think of all the people that you're eliminating from that perk.
So I think, long story short, Disney World and Disney in general saw COVID as an opportunity, as a lot of companies did, to sort of realign how they did business.
Right.
You know, I think that probably what happened is that early magic hours, late magic hours expanded beyond it being a perk. Mm-hmm. It was something that the crowds were still big in the parks during those times.
Right.
And so Disney is trying to incentivize deluxe resort stays, and they've made this move. We'll see how long it sticks around, but I definitely can see being kind of sad and upset that, you know, park resort options were cut out.
Well, and, you know, looking at that, and I'm not a business person, but looking at that from a business standpoint, you know, like, you know, trying to incentivize people staying at deluxe resorts that are more expensive than some of the others, you know, I'm sure looking at it with that kind of mindset, this makes sense for all the people of Disney who are making these decisions. But yeah, it's, you know, I know that I've seen a lot of people comment, like, what would Walt think? You know, like, how would Walt feel about everything becoming more expensive, and almost, you know, some things like that becoming more exclusive to some and not to others. And so I think that a lot of people, you know, I agree, they feel hurt by that.
Yeah, I don't go too far down the road of what would Walt think, because Walt, whenever he opened the park, there were a lot of different exclusive options. I mean, Club 33 is something that goes back close to the founding of the park, if not to the founding of the park. And that is something that is exorbitantly expensive.
So, I don't understand it.
We're not going to get it. Yeah, we're not going to get into Club 33 on today's podcast. But that is something that was around during the time of Walt Disney that is incredibly expensive. So what would Walt think? That's a difficult question to answer. But we are seeing a lot of things that were part of the perks prior to COVID that have not yet come back. Right. And no real timeline on them coming back. Although we do know that the dining plan is coming back before the end of the year. So let's talk about something else. Mm-hmm. So for people that want to stay in a hotel on Disney property, there really are very few options for families of five, which ours is.
Right.
Our brother-in-law has always said that the world is made for families of four. That's always been his big phrase.
Right. Well, I guess maybe Disney agrees with that statement. Yeah. Because, yeah, for us to go, and like if we're thinking like studio, you know, like to stay at a more, you know, price or cost effective, place. We're very limited on options there.
Yeah, you can. So for moderates, there are 5-person sleepers at places like Caribbean Beach and Port Orleans. And I believe there are some options at Values. There's suites at Values as well. But when you get up to a suite at a Value, you're looking at basically the price of a moderate or even a deluxe in some cases, because those are pretty large rooms. Mm-hmm. And then you look at deluxe, there are several resorts that sleep 5 people. And basically what it is it's a couch that rolls over so that you have a place for the person to sleep. But I mean, I think that it's right to a certain degree that the world is made for a family of four, because you can hop onto a roller coaster and just have 2 rows taken up and nobody is left out. And then the hotel situation is good as well. And it's probably not specific to Disney World, because that's probably an issue across the board. I know, you know, looking for a hotel room for 5 people, sometimes you can't get one. So, but that is something that really cuts down availability for a family of five, because you just can't stay at those resorts unless you're willing to pay for 2 hotel rooms.
Yeah. And it's interesting whenever you think about like the value resorts, like you had commented about the suites, like, you know, looking into a room, you know, you would assume that, okay, the value is the way to go if I want to spend the least amount. But when you start to get up into like the suites in a value, you know, kind of take a look at some of the moderate options also, because like you said, you know, you may be getting very, very close to the price point that you would be spending at a moderate for accommodating the same amount of people.
And I will say, a lot of these resorts have a bed that pulls down underneath the TV, a Murphy bed.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep on it, but I've laid on it for an extended period of time. It's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Our son Christian, he is the designated Murphy sleeper in every room that we go to that sleeps five. So that is like he's all over that. And Claire and Carter, our youngest, they'll sleep on the pull-out couch or wherever the new pull-down Murphy beds, which is something that I love about Disney.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Kind of off topic. But so, yeah, that is definitely something that we're not in love with about Disney. Here's a good one, and we're sticking with resorts here. A couple years ago, they had the great idea to start charging people to park when you're staying at the hotel.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm not for that at all. So you're already spending all of this money to go on a Disney vacation, and then you're going to be charged, and at least pre-pandemic, it was $25 a day. So that adds up over the course of 7 days. I guess the thought process there is you're going to have to pay to park at the parks anyway. So you're just paying at the hotel. But what if you're doing a resort only vacation and you wouldn't have had parking expenses at all, and you're going to pay to park at the resort? I know that was a really unpopular decision that Disney made. It still is unpopular. A lot of people talk about it. So I don't like it.
What I don't understand is it's not like, and we've stayed at quite a few, you know, Disney resorts, and I don't ever remember having an issue with parking. Like, parking is not a hot commodity at these resorts. I mean, the parking lots are large. Like, we were most recently at Riviera, parking lot was huge. And like, there were tons of spots everywhere. Right. So, I mean, I can understand, like, if you are in Disney World was in the middle of like a city or something, and parking lot or parking spaces were very hard to come by, then okay, all right, I guess that makes sense. But Not in this situation when they have enormous parking lots. Another thing, you know, that I can kind of maybe understand is if they're trying to incentivize like Magical Express, you know, trying to maybe encourage people or entice people to use that transportation system. But that's going away. And that was included, you know, that wasn't even something you had to pay for. And now it's gone in January, I believe.
Yeah. That's another thing I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just brought that up. I had forgotten about it.
I don't like that.
I'm not for that. I don't understand why Magical Express is going away. I don't know that the option that is replacing it is very economical for families.
Right.
The price adds up. You're making somebody pay now. I think it's $30 round trip for something that was free before. And, you know, I don't know that Disney ever does a really great job of explaining their rationale whenever they decide to make these decisions
because
and taking perks away.
Yeah,
well, because people are just going to do it. But now, so Magical Express is off the table if you're not willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But then if you rent a car, you're going to have to pay to rent a car, and then you're going to pay to park at the resorts.
Right.
So, I mean, people that say that it is expensive, I hear you.
Right. It is.
It is. And it has gotten more expensive. And I understand kind of the nickel and diming that people talk about.
Right.
Getting rid of Magical Express, making people pay for parking. You know, there is one antidote to the paying for parking, and it's not, you know, one that is, you know, in every family's future, but Disney Vacation Club members don't have to pay to park at the resorts that they stay at.
Right.
So that is one group of people. I don't believe the annual pass holders are included in that. I believe they still have to pay at the hotel, but they don't have to pay at the gate.
I was going to say.
At the park. I know that for sure. But so that is definitely one that I am not a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, folks. If you're staying off site at a hotel, a lot of the hotels off site have resort fees. Mm-hmm. That they are going to insert. Some of them even have parking fees. Mm-hmm. So the thing about going to Disney World is that you're going to be in that situation, regardless of whether you stay off-site at a hotel or you stay on property. Now, you could go out and get a house, which is an economical option that a lot of people do, and then you won't have to pay for that. But traffic in Florida, depending on where you're coming from, for example, if you're coming up I-4 from Point South, traffic is bad. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from Kissimmee, from different places in Kissimmee, traffic is bad, and it takes a while to get to the park. So, you know, all different things to consider when you're planning a vacation. But that was a decision a couple years ago that was made that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about something else, a difference between Walt Disney World and Walt Disneyland. So at Walt, I think it's just Disneyland, I mean, just to be correct.
Right.
But at Disneyland, before the pandemic, characters were walking around and you could meet and greet with them.
Right.
Back like old school Disney World. We talked about this last week.
Right.
Something I miss. You know, how many pictures do I have of the old school Pooh with the honeypot on his head? Or, you know, some of, you know, you would see characters like, you still see Chip and Dale, but I'm talking about characters like Eeyore and Tigger and Rabbit and the Seven Dwarfs, obscure characters.
Right.
You know, Disney World just trots those characters out for
like
the special extra events.
Right.
Like, hey, if you want to see these characters, pay $130 a ticket and you can go see them. So, you know, I guess that's a marketing strategy. But so that's something I don't love about Disney World. It's not that I don't like character meet and greets. In fact, I was talking about this with Christian tonight, our 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's like, I like meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I do too, but you used to just be able to walk up to these characters, or they would walk through the park and they would stop and they would, you'd be able to get a picture with them. You didn't have to wait in line for an hour to see them.
Right. Yeah. I remember when, and I mentioned this last week, but the first time I went was like in 1997. And I distinctly remember like in the, kind of the main street area, like right in front of the train station. I remember like having a picture of Goofy. He was just kind of walking around. And, you know, there were characters just kind of milling around, you know, and yeah, you could walk up to them and get their autographs. Yeah, now it's, I mean, that just doesn't happen. I mean, they do come out at the railway station, but they're up on like the balcony, like waving to everyone. So they're not as like accessible as what they used to be. And I think for some, like, especially small kids, you know, that might be kind of upsetting to them. You know, if you're taking a young child and they want to go and hug these characters and here they're so far away, or, you know, the only way that they can, you know, kind of get up close with them is to then go and stand in an enormous line. And so, yeah, that can be a bummer for families.
So they are coming back, character meet and greets. This was some news that broke this week. Okay. The Disney princesses will be returning to Princess Fairy Tale Hall in the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Mickey Mouse will be at the Town Square Theater. Mm-hmm. Minnie Mouse will be at Red Carpet Dreams in Disney's Hollywood Studios. And the Disney Junior Stars will be at the Animation Courtyard, at the Disney Hollywood Studios. So mm-hmm. That's something that Disney says is coming soon, but I just did a quick Google search and didn't see that they put an official date on that. You know what else doesn't have an official date? Disney Genie Plus.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that.
Disney Genie Plus. It's supposed to come at some point this fall. We're keeping an eye on that. We're going to obviously be filing a podcast whenever that comes out. And can't promise that we're going to try that. But we'll definitely let you know that it is coming. So we have a big one to cover here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this deserves a disclaimer up front from me. I love the environment. I am for protecting the environment. I mean, we should be good conservationists.
Right.
But I hate paper straws. I'm sorry. I hate paper straws. And Disney moved to exclusively paper straws a few years ago. And folks, it's a disaster.
Well, I agree. Like, I get. is this your most hated one? Like, I knew we were getting progressively. Yes. Okay, I figured that this was the last one.
Yeah,
on the
I
list.
Don't like this. I mean, yeah. Can you imagine? Imagine if you will. Drinking a milkshake with a paper straw.
Right. Well, like, and you know, like, as I was saying, like, I get the purpose behind it.
Oh, definitely. Okay? Sure.
You know, like protecting the environment, protecting the animals, you know, etc. I get that. But, you know, paper straws are fine if you're going to drink your drink extraordinarily quickly. And at least I've found that, like, they, as the kind of time goes on and your straw is like in your drink, it's just going to get
The straw slowly crumples to the bottom of the cup. And I'm talking about like when you're at a table service or a quick service restaurant, forget about a free refill. That paper straw is not going to last. And then at some restaurants, they hide the straws and you just, you have to ask for one.
Right. Or if you're like, you know, like, yeah, your straw will almost seem like it kind of disintegrates. But then if you're like our 3-year-old, if you're like Carter, he likes to chew on his straws. And so they get especially gross and they'll actually like close up and then he like can't like suck anything through the straw.
So I have a solution to this. Maybe you can refresh my memory. But one of our recent trips there, I had a straw that was made out of some kind of biodegradable material that was environmentally friendly, but was actually a solid straw.
Right.
I don't know whether it was made of some kind of sugar concoction or something like that, but it was awesome. I'm like, this is the cure to paper straws, something that is good for the environment,
right,
but is useful at the same time.
Right. I was going to say there has to be something. I mean, I'm not like a science person. Like I have no idea, but like there has to be something out there that's not plastic. Like the metal straws, I know people get those, you know, like the reusable straws. But what I fear about, like for the kids, is I could just see like one of our kids walking through the park with like a drink and like, I don't know, tripping and shoving that thing back their throat. So I'm very, very leery about like metal straws because I did contemplate getting those before. Just to be able to use. But I'm kind of steering clear of those.
Yeah, well, I mean, these paper straws are useless. They're absolutely useless. I don't use a straw at Disney anymore.
You don't?
I just don't do it. I mean, this is the thing that I dislike the most. I mean, this seems like something really petty, right? Like this is the thing that makes me see red about Disney's paper straws, but I'm there.
But you like to stay hydrated though. So like you're the guy that
I'm blowing through like 5 or 6 refills in a dinner.
You're the guy when we're eating.
Keep it coming.
You go through like 3 drinks before I finish one. Now that might be a little. And of course, we're not talking alcohol here. We're just talking regular drinks.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi.
Right.
I forget in Disney World what it is. It's like Diet Coke, right?
I think it's Coke.
Yeah, Diet Coke. I always just say Diet Coke / Pepsi.
Yeah.
So, it's important in the Central Florida heat to stay hydrated.
Right, it is.
So that's why I'm loading up on the hydration to stay hydrated. But yeah, I don't like this one. We're going to throw a bonus in there.
Okay.
And this is our fault. Okay. We understand this. It's our decision to travel to Disney in the summer. Uh-huh. We've gone over this here on the podcast that we do it because Lillian's a teacher. Mm-hmm. She's off during the summer. The kids are off during the summer. So we deal with the heat. But the rain. I mean, the rain. We were there over the summer in June. And it said 0% chance of rain. We're like, all right, yes, we're going to the parks. So we leave Boardwalk, walking to Epcot. We get into Epcot. All of a sudden, like no clouds in the sky. Rain, torrential rain.
Torrential rain.
The most torrential rain I have ever seen in my life. I didn't think I'd ever get dry.
And we... And we walked because, you know, and we'll talk about Boardwalk in a podcast.
Yes, here that's actually coming up on our next episode. We took a break from our hotel reviews just to kind of mix it up a little bit. And then, you know, we thought that this would kind of turn things on their head to talk about things that we don't like. And full disclosure, we love Disney World. I mean, this is a little bit tongue in cheek, The straws aren't.
No, the straws aren't. And the rain isn't because, you know, we walked when we were in Boardwalk. We walked to Epcot. So we had like nowhere to go. We're like at the back gate and we have no ponchos, or maybe we did have ponchos. I don't remember.
But we had ponchos. You ripped yours on the first day.
I did.
I concocted a poncho for Carter where his head stuck out of his stroller so he could see. And it was kind of like an octopus type thing. It just kind of draped over him, which worked really well for him. He was the only person that wasn't wet, but So if you go in the summer, it's going to rain. It's going to rain when it says there's a 0% chance of rain. It's just going to happen. Right. But I think that's a pretty good list. And you know, we get it. Everything is more expensive now. So Disney World is certainly not the same price it was in the late 1980s or even the late 1990s.
Right.
But everything that you choose to do, any place you choose to vacation, is more expensive now than it was 20 years ago. It's just a reality.
And I think, you know, I think with Disney, you can kind of tailor your vacation to what you want it to be, you know, and I know we've talked about this before. So like, yes, it's expensive to get into the parks. That does not mean you have to go to the parks every single day if you choose to go to Disney. I mean, whether you're staying offsite or onsite, you know, you can choose to have a resort day. You know, if you're onsite and stay at the pool. I mean, our kids love just going to the pools, you know, and so you can have a day like that. You can have a day where you're going to Disney Springs, which does not cost anything to go to. And it's still a lot of fun, especially if you like to shop. You know, or have great, you know, go to great restaurants. That's the place to go. So, you know, you can take lunches into the parks. I mean, if you want to pack a lunch, you can. So, you know, it can be as expensive or as inexpensive as you can possibly make it. You know, I mean, yes, if you're going to the parks, you're still going to have to pay that ticket, obviously. But, you know, there are certainly things that you can do to try to alleviate some of those costs.
All right. I got one more question for you before we go.
Okay.
How many days until Halloween?
24.
You got that down. You can't wait, right?
I can't wait. I love it. It's one of my favorite times of the year.
So we've got themed costumes this year, at least part of our family.
Right.
Carter's going to be Jack Skellington.
Yep.
I'm going to be Oogie Boogie, which is a really great costume. We'll have to post pictures on our Facebook page. And you are going to be Sally.
So the three of us, are going to be... Nightmare Before Christmas characters. And full disclosure, I just watched that movie for the first time this year.
And you like it.
It's really great. Yeah, it's all over the parks. And I never really understood the appeal of it because, you know, it came out so long ago and I just never watched it before. But I watched it and now I get it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I definitely would recommend it. Well, that is going to do it for this week. As always, we appreciate you spending a half hour with us here on Raised on the Diz.
Have a magical day.
And have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
With lives on the line. Not mine, of course, but yours, oh boy. Now let it be just fine. Release me fast or you will have to answer for this heinous act. Oh, brother, you're something. You put me in a spin. You aren't comprehending the position that you're in. It's hopeless. You're finished. You haven't got a prayer. 'Cause I'm Mr. Oogie Boogie, and you ain't going nowhere.